Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wake up!
Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Now they're getting on a flight to head to London, and you got a chance to win a getaway game on Sunday morning, and then you got the bye week. I mean, what more do you want out of life?
Just to get over there and get our clocks right, you know, that's the science part of it. It takes you a couple days to get there, so Friday will be our red zone day, Saturday will be the walkthrough, and then Sunday we'll play the game.
A getaway game in London.
I'm just saying.
Getaway.
You can stay in London if you
Why
want.
Why not? You're going to have the week off, right? You extend the holiday.
Shuttle over
will.
To Paris.
Oui, oui.
I think there's a lot of things you could do to take advantage of this opportunity traveling abroad for Bears players, coaches, or fans. I mean, a lot of fans are going, why not? This is an opportunity. From a football perspective, this is the soft part of your schedule. You better take care of business.
You know, just excited to go and play there. Overall, I know those games are always packed, and be able to go out there and win.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
Listen, jolly good show, jolly good show.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Friday finally upon us. And the Jacksonville Jaguars finally in London, so the game will indeed go on.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, happy Friday. The Jags have arrived in London. According to their X feed, they arrived somewhere around between 10 and 11 our time last night, 4 o'clock in the morning local time, London time. So we can now look forward to a kickoff on schedule. They were talking about what would happen if there are all kind of contingency plans. Now the Jags are there, jet lagged, ready to go. It's got to be a quick turnaround. It's got to be a factor.
Yeah, it's a quick turnaround. There's no doubt about it. That's tough. I mean, that's going to be there's no ideal time, as we've learned. There's no necessarily spectacular difference in record as to when you get there, but this doesn't seem like a good one.
Does not seem like a ideal way to prepare for a game for a 1-4 football team like the Jaguars, who might be a little bit desperate coming off a victory, but should have probably anticipated the weather situation in Florida a little better than they did. May not be a factor at all. The Bears still adjusting their body clocks. Did you see Montez Sweat face the media yesterday? And as one of the stories described him, talking about the problem in buying clothes, the problem with the couldn't sleep on the flight over, and then he yawned in the middle of the interview.
Yeah, well, he's jet-lagged.
He yawned.
Yeah. Well, the science, it's now the science of getting your body. What was the line from Flint?
Big Science?
Mr. Big Science.
Was it Big Science?
Yeah, I think he called it. Okay, whatever it takes, just get ready, play a game. Let's see how it turns out. Should be a lot of fun. We're
looking forward to
it.
Yeah, we are. Yeah,
so much to talk about. So many good things
you
going
clap.
On. I just gave
just
myself
clap.
A little. Applause.
You just clap. That's fine.
I'm fired up.
Right, you're fired
up. I'm ready to go, buddy.
Go team.
Yeah, we got people
on
texting
one.
Us about who will Joe take between Ohio State and Oregon. Oregon's going to kill him.
We're getting those texts already?
Already, man. I mean, I got to tell
Ohio
you.
Ohio State-Oregon is a classic Big Ten matchup.
Yes, that's exactly right. The new landscape of college football, it features the Big Ten matchup between Ohio State
Biggest
and
game in the country on Saturday.
Yeah, should be a good one.
2 versus 3.
Yes. Do you think 2 and 3 have a case for one?
If the winner emerges with a resounding victory, yes.
I agree. We're still figuring this stuff out. It's going to take a little bit.
College football is hard to figure out in terms of how good these teams really are, because so many of these teams have come together so late.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Well, there's so many transfers
It's hard to know
yes.
in early October exactly what you have, because you're not basing it on – well, this team has grown into this, and you're putting teams together somewhat on the fly year to year. So 2 versus 3 on Saturday, looking forward to that.
We'll talk to Bigsy at 7. I hope he went to that game last night. Did you see England lost to Greece?
I did not see that.
Wow.
There's a lot of sports I paid attention to last night. I missed that one.
I'm telling you, they're already calling for the head of the king. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Not the king.
Not the king.
No. Isn't that something? I mean, it's just
England lost.
He said he had a chance to go to that game.
And their home pitch?
On their home pitch.
Wow. Well, I hope Big Z went and witnessed that.
The whole world's gone mad. Cats sleeping with dogs. Nothing. No one knows what's going on.
I did not look at the England soccer team losing as a sign that the world has gone mad.
It's gone mad.
It has gone mad.
It's upside down world.
Bollocks.
Yeah. No, it's a big deal over there, I'm telling you. Okay, so the Bears are now, they were 2 yesterday. They're 1.5. Huh, they're still favored, but they're only favored by 1.5.
Maybe people were waiting to see if the Jags would actually arrive.
Once they got there, they got 0.5. Just for getting there.
Just for arriving. Just for landing the plane.
The game will. I saw Dave Wannstedt. He kind of expressed that to us. He didn't say it, but apparently he took the.
I think he was hedging on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, he was.
He was holding out on us.
Yeah.
He likes the Jags. I know he has holds a little bit of sway over your picks. So I'm very curious to see which direction you go.
I'm very curious to see which way I go.
You're skittish about this. You haven't made your mind up yet, have you?
I've made up my mind.
You've got an hour.
And I know I could tell you right now my pick, but I'd be robbing us of that glory.
I want the suspense to build. Yeah, yeah. I want to know up until you utter your prediction in about an hour.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows?
We kind of know which way Dustin's going.
We got to make sure that there's nothing that comes flying in late.
That's a tease for all you listeners out there. Stay tuned.
You think we're going to get new information?
You never know.
Trevor Lawrence got up with a sore neck.
Yeah. He's trained his neck.
Beds are smaller there.
Yeah. Who knows?
Never.
He got in. He was so exhausted. He had Saturday night syndrome. Is that what they call it?
Yes.
Have you ever heard that? Where apparently, like, if you go into your room somehow overly lubricated and you sleep. On top, this happened to a friend of my brother's. He slept over his
friend of your brother's.
His beanbag. No, he had a beanbag in his room, and he like slept with the beanbag in the middle of his back, and he like put his shoulder out somehow while sleeping.
Oh gosh!
Yeah, in college.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
That does sound a little.
And
bit
And when I
far-fetched.
Say sleeping,
yes,
it's more of like a blackout.
Right.
But that's what Saturday night syndrome is. Yeah. You sleep on your arm the wrong way because
we never know.
Collapse.
They got in late.
You never know.
Never know. Big weekend, though, both abroad and in town.
Yeah.
The Chicago Marathon.
Yes.
Sunday morning. Big deal.
Make sure you know the street closures if you're out driving around the city in the morning on Sunday.
Definitely know what you're doing. Definitely know where you're going.
That's right.
Plan ahead. Be prepared. Go out and root on your favorite marathoner. Coverage right here. On the score, 7-11 exclusive. The 46th running of the Bank of America Chicago Marathon.
I'm a huge supporter.
You definitely.
Yeah.
Of the marathon.
I am.
I love the marathon. Yeah. Last year, I had the privilege of riding in the lead car. It's an amazing way to see the city. And I marveled at the coverage. Josh List does an excellent job.
Josh is great.
In charge of all of the coverage and the team that does all the work is very impressive. So that's Sunday morning.
That's Sunday morning, and we will be because that is Sunday morning, because the Bears start at 8:30, if you want to get yourself prepared for Jacksonville, the pregame show will be on Saturday morning. It is on a special day, Saturday, and it will be on from 9 to 11. Your local Ford dealers pregame show right here on 670 The Score, presented by Aurelio's. You can join Olin Krutz and Patrick Manley and myself. We'll get you ready for the game, and that'll be on the Odyssey app and then immediately following the game on Sunday. So you'll have all that waiting for you. And then on Sunday, you can watch the game and then tune immediately into The Score for the Great Clips postgame show. Presented by Sony Pictures, Wonderverse Chicago, and TimberTech Decking and Railing and all of it. Heard on The Score and the Odyssey app.
Saturday morning, 9 to 11.
9 to 11.
Any baseball guests?
Yeah, that's usually our baseball show, but not this week.
Okay.
So if
that's
you
good.
If you want to hear some good baseball talk, tune into the pregame show.
I can't wait to see your take on the Tigers.
There you go.
Previewing
I have a lot.
Detroit, Cleveland.
I've got a lot of thoughts on the Tigers. I've watched a lot of the Tigers. A pity they couldn't get it done yesterday.
It was.
Now you wonder.
Go back to Cleveland, but they do have Skubal on the mound.
Yeah.
They do have the Cy Young Award favorite on the mound for them on the road. Yeah. This has been a crazy playoffs for road teams, so you don't have to really look at it as the odds aren't that great against them. But you would have liked to, if you're rooting for the Tigers in that story, you would have liked to have seen them finish it last night.
Yeah, I think for sure it would have been the way to do it. But as you say, having Skubal makes a load of difference, and hopefully they can score a run or two. It was interesting to see the Yankees get through and the Mets get through. You know, New York's covered. But it will be interesting tonight to see the battle for the hearts and souls of Los Angeles. Do you feel at all like the Padres kind of, how do I put it, that they woke the sleeping giant, they poked the bear, that
yes.
they got a little...
I have a bad feeling. I have a bad feeling. If you're rooting for the Padres, I have a bad feeling tonight because you did not want this to return to L.A.
Yes, and it's Yamamoto on the bump against Yu Darvish. So there's an international flair to this one. What time is that game going on in Japan? I wonder how many people will deny themselves.
It's history making.
Yeah, it's a big deal.
First time this has happened.
Yeah.
And it is a big deal.
And it's a winner take all game.
Darvish is the guy you want on the mound for the Padres. Mm-hmm. Yamamoto struggled, I think, last time out. Or he has less experience in these situations. But the Dodgers lineup is one you fear because mm-hmm. you think that maybe Mookie Betts is hot now. And wonder if Freddie Freeman is going to be able to play. Not sure about that.
Yeah.
But this is not the ideal situation for the Padres. They had an opportunity to close it out at home. They did not do that. So now I don't know. I think I'm feeling like the Dodgers are probably going to prevail.
Yeah.
Saturday night, not so sure. I think that the Tigers could win that road game because of Skubal, and the Guardians' offense is still. They needed a pinch hit home run from David Fry.
That's right.
And then bunting home an insurance run in the ninth inning. So I just don't know. They win 5-4 against the Tigers. How about New York? Dustin talked about this before the show. How about Monday if you are a New York sports fan? They've got the Yankees and the Mets both in league championship series. And then Monday Night Football, the Jets Jets play the Bills. Can you imagine if the Cubs and the Sox were both in the league championship series on the same day that the Bears were playing Monday Night Football?
Are you anticipating the new coach bump?
Well, the Bills have to. The Bills have to anticipate that from the Jets because you wonder, you see it happen all the time in sports, renewed focus, better energy, you make a coaching change, you get everybody's attention. Wouldn't surprise me if the Jets knock off the Bills. It really wouldn't.
Yeah, it could happen.
NFL.
I asked this question and we didn't take it into account, and that's okay. The WNBA Finals tipped off. The Lynx took down the Liberty 95-93 in overtime.
Wow.
It is a best-of-five series with Game 2 on Sunday.
That's a dramatic turn.
Huh?
Okay.
Did you see the Lynx coming?
No, did not.
Did anybody watch live?
No.
A second of it?
Not one.
Okay.
I'm shocked to be talking about it.
Do you know when they're playing on Sunday other than they're playing?
They're playing on Sunday against football, I think.
At 2
answer.
O'clock.
Okay.
What is wrong with them?
Well,
seriously, why would you play on Sunday? And then if you play on Sunday, why would you play at 2?
I find this fascinating because I think that we saw one of the great jumps in television ratings when the WNBA got into its season, and we saw they started traveling by private plane and everything changed. And the thinking was this was fueled a lot by Caitlin Clark. And sure enough, they once she was eliminated, their ratings have taken a hit. They're still getting the best ratings they've ever had. And I would imagine last night they got some good ratings for that game. But I think that it is still limited to sort of the niche sport thing. That, like I said, their best ratings ever, significantly better than before, but significantly less than they were getting when Caitlin Clark was still alive in the playoffs. And that's not taking a shot at anyone or trying to oversell something. That's just the reality of how many people were watching the sport for her and her presence.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's going to sustain. I think next year they'll have, and maybe as you move forward, there'll be more fans that want to watch them throughout the entirety of the playoff. But right now, it still hasn't broken through as, you know, kind of the sport that they hoped it would be.
I'd agree with that. I saw the first game was in overtime, 95-93, but I did not watch it.
Yeah.
I would say, though, you just mentioned it is increasing. Next season is going to expand to 44 games. So, and they're going to have like a best of seven. It's not going to be best of five in like 2 years or something like that. So it's expanding.
Next year. The best of seven.
2025.
Right. And that's good because, you know, you want to get more viewers on it. And usually the last couple games are ones where a lot of people jump on them. Unfortunately, I don't know how many people know it's.
Yeah, they got to do something about the calendar. I really don't care.
I think it'll probably move back a little bit next year because of the Olympics, right?
Yeah.
This year,
probably.
So they got pushed back like a month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It used to be a one and done for the final.
But we got, I mean, you know, the Blackhawks are playing tonight, right? Mm-hmm. The Bulls are playing Saturday, another preseason game. But you're into the NHL season. You're building into, I don't know if you drove up to Milwaukee to see Bronny put on a show up there, but you'd be disappointed if you did. But they played in Milwaukee. I'm just saying, people love the Lakers. People love the NBA. So we're still in the baseball playoffs. You got the winter sports starting, and you got the NFL in the heart of the season. It's just a hard sports calendar to find a lot of people watching other things. You know, and I didn't even mention college football. And, you know, number two against number three tomorrow, as we mentioned earlier.
Yeah. It's not on my radar.
Yeah.
That game, guys, I just found out here on the score.
Which game?
If you're driving around Saturday night.
Ohio State, Oregon?
Ohio State, Oregon.
Is it really? That's awesome.
Great. 6 o'clock coverage begins.
Oh, that's wonderful.
That's great. I like listening to football on the score.
I like last the night, score.
Ron Rivera last
Ron
night.
Ron Rivera's pretty good. I listened to him driving home from TV and he was definitely a familiar voice. I'm like, wait a second, is that's Ron Rivera? And he's very good at that. Now, he did some radio right after his playing career was over.
Yeah, here at the score.
Yeah.
He worked here.
Worked with you, didn't he? Didn't you do a couple shows with him? I worked with Ron.
Yeah.
He's obviously knowledgeable. I like his ability to condense what he's saying. Like, for a guy doing it for the first time, I would imagine, I don't know, he's got a lot of experience, at least the first season. He's used to coaching.
Yes.
He's been coaching forever.
Yes.
And now he's in the booth and did a nice job.
Yeah, he knows the game. I mean, I think that's fair to say. So
he knows the game. He knows the radio game, too. So he's very good at that.
Good
the
communicator.
Analyst. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, that's good stuff. So he's on the call tomorrow? Is that what you said?
No, he did last night. He did last night's game.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Confused us.
You know who's doing the Bears game for Westwood?
Who's that?
This weekend. Did you hear who's doing it?
No.
Somebody.
Peanut Tillman.
Oh, that's right. I did hear that.
Come on.
Yep.
Peanut Tillman on the call for Westwood One in London.
Really?
Yeah.
He's out there with the team as an ambassador, and then he'll be part of the radio call on Sunday for Westwood One.
Bet you he'll be pretty good at it.
I'm curious to hear him. I'm curious to listen back to the highlights after the fact.
I wonder if he'll interview the barber. He's traveling with the team. Did he get to know that guy a little bit?
Peter Tillman is working with the FBI. Is that
true? I know he had ambition to
if
do
he
that.
Isn't,
I thought he had become an FBI.
He went through
agent.
The classes, right?
Yeah.
He went through the training.
He would be a good football analyst if he were to devote more time to that. I can imagine him being very good. He's got a lot of opinions. He expresses himself pretty well, pretty clearly, confidently, and certainly knows the game. And this is good for this would be good for his profile, because he's going to at some point in time probably want to. Is he a Hall of Fame candidate? Is he a semifinalist? He's got the peanut punch.
Yeah, they cut the list down.
Yeah. They changed the game with the peanut punch.
Everybody does it now. Everybody. You see it at college. I even saw it in high school recently.
You see defensive backs try it instinctively now. Last night, right. You're watching the game. Right. It's happening in the 49ers Seahawks
game. That second guy in is always going for that punch.
By the way, Seahawks did not have it at home. I think they started fast. They came down. They're coming back to earth. 49ers.
Geno Smith misses Shane Waldron.
Geno Smith misses somebody. He misses receivers. That's what he misses.
He misses receivers.
I mean, he was high. He was bad last night. They were open, and he overthrew early on. Boy, surprisingly off on his birthday.
Oh, was it his birthday? You're big with the birthdays.
You're big with the birthdays. I hear every time I hear now.
He
birthday,
wasn't 23 though, right?
No, Geno Smith, he's all of 34. Yesterday? He's 34, going on 40.
Saw him hitting himself in the head with the tablet on Amazon last night.
I would have too.
He had the tablet, and he was hitting himself in the head.
You would have hit him on the head with
yes.
The tablet.
He wasn't hitting receivers.
Could you imagine David coaching? Just whacks him.
He's hitting the 49ers though, right? They took the ball away two times.
Yes, 49ers were. Very opportunistic.
They called it a must-win game. They said they had to win that game.
Well, they got the Chiefs right on the schedule next, so they had to win that game.
Yep.
How about your guy, George Kittle? George Kittle, 5 receptions, 58 yards, 2 touchdowns. George Kittle.
Something's going on with George Kittle. I got to be careful. I told David this morning, I came in here, and I could not remember what the context was or what my dream was or whatever, but I woke up this morning and I had a conversation with George Kittle. I don't know how, and I don't know what I would say to George Kittle, and I've never even really talked to George Kittle, but somehow I had overnight in my subconscious.
I could try to piece it together for you.
Please.
Why?
Please.
Well, I recently saw, and I think you guys for some reason, I remember yesterday you guys talking about Little Caesar's Pizza.
We did.
Okay.
Yes, we did.
George Kittle is now in a Little Caesars pizza commercial.
Maybe.
And then George Kittle was scoring touchdowns last night.
So no.
And that George Kittle.
I saw him on the baseball, and then I watched him on
Amazon last night. And then you may have seen the commercial.
No,
and
Dr.
we
Rhodes.
Talked about Little Caesars. You put all that together, there's Molly's dream.
No, yes. Dr. Rhodes.
No?
No. He didn't even know he was in a Little Caesars commercial. He didn't see him.
But I mean, but subconsciously, it just airs, right? I'm saying it airs, and all of a sudden. And
now Dustin's getting to the bottom of it. But it was... I told David, I was like, I just had this really bizarre feeling that I had spoken to George Kittle. It was super strange.
And it's these pizza cups he's advertising for, like almost like a spin on like a pizza puff kind of thing by Little Caesars.
A pizza cup.
Pizza cup?
Pizza cup. Almost like a pizza muffin.
I'd have that for lunch.
Like a pizza muffin.
Like a little
I don't know if it's little. It's like a cupcake muffin kind of
it's
pizza.
It's a pizza cupcake.
Pizza cup.
Yeah. Pizza cup.
Little ranch dressing on the side.
You and your ranch. We'll be back to that.
Mully was trying to teach me how to eat yesterday off the air, and it wouldn't touch my teeth or tongue.
No.
Okay.
Not allowed to say your lips. Food doesn't touch your lips. It touches your teeth and tongue.
He said that would never touch my lips. And we were just talking, and I said, that stood out to me because how often, do you... Do you miss your mouth? Do you throw food?
Does the ranch dressing touch your lips, David?
Of course.
Okay, thank you.
Imagine it does.
Holy's food only touches his teeth and his tongue.
That's very specific.
Not what I said. I just thought it was a very funny turn of phrase. That food will never touch my lips.
Really? You hear that all the time.
You're not going to kiss it?
No.
I will give this hoagie sandwich a fine French kiss.
Hoagie sandwich. I've never. It's a hoagie sandwich reference.
We don't even have those anymore. No. All right. It was just a very obscure thing to say, I thought. The turn of phrase amused me.
No more obscure than a dream about George Kittle.
I didn't come on the air announcing I had a Kittle dream. I mentioned it to you this morning.
No.
You had no problem bringing it up.
No, I didn't. I said George Kittle had 5 receptions for 58 yards and 2 touchdowns.
You said your guy, George Kittle, you started connecting me to him. because we'd had a midnight chat, which Dustin broke down as a, what was it, a pizza
Dr. cupcake? Rhodes, a pizza cup.
Pizza cup.
Yeah.
Okay.
A Little Caesars commercial. Yeah. That's right. Where this starts.
All right. We got the, well, we got the pick six next. We'll get to that. We'll pick apart all the stories of the day. We won't chew them up, but we will give them a nice smack of love. Each and every important story of the day. It's Mully and Haw.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
What did you make of Tevin Jenkins being unable to practice yesterday in shells after being listed as limited in a walkthrough on Wednesday? Are you less hopeful he will play on Sunday? Is his injury status worse for the team or a player hopeful of getting a new contract in the offseason?
I feel bad for Tevin Jenkins because, unfortunately, whether it's, you know, whether he's cursed or whatever it is, all these little injuries are mounting up, and he's missed a lot of time. And, you know, when Ryan Poles was asked about giving him a contract extension, he said something like, boy, I hope that is what we're, you know, I just don't think missing a game is good for him. I would like to see him play, and I don't think he's going to play. I think that, you know, they had an imaginary practice. They had a mental exercise where you say if it was a normal day, would he practice? Well, he'd be limited. So you called him limited during a walkthrough. And then when you actually put shells on, again, it's not like you're hitting or anything. He couldn't do anything. That's yesterday. So is he going to practice today? Is he going to be able to start? I think they're going to have, I think they're going to move on. And I think Bill Murray will end up starting the game on Sunday. And I don't think that's good for the long-term future of Tevin Jenkins with the Bears.
I think you're exactly right, Mully, what you just said there. I don't think that's good either for Tevin's long-term. And so that's why, while I think he would be missed, typically when the Bears win, I don't go back and grind on what I taped on the DVR. Mm. So I have not watched it yet again, and I had a pretty busy week, so I didn't get to see a lot of Bill Murray a second time to kind of focus in on that. We talked about that earlier in the week. So I think they like him. I think the Bears like Bill Murray. At least they sound like they do.
Yeah.
So I think this is worse for Jenkins. Now, again, okay, like, let's just keep him off his feet. He knows the plays. Maybe that's what's going on. I think today would probably be a bet. Listen, if he doesn't practice today, he's not playing Sunday morning, right?
Well, if he doesn't practice today, they'll probably rule him out.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah. So, I mean, I think today is the bigger day, but I think in the spirit of the question, this is worse news for Tevin than it is for the Bears.
Yeah, I think so, because of the depth they do have at the position. They used Bill Murray last week. It's not an ideal situation. I'll tell you, it's not an insignificant loss either, because the Jaguars, you don't want them to be able to control the line of scrimmage with their defensive line. They have a couple good edge rushers. They also, remember Roy Robertson-Harris, remember him? He's in the yes. middle of that Jaguar defense, his fourth season in Jacksonville, and he can be a menace. He can be disruptive, and he's going to be probably lined up right in the middle there. So you want to take care of business, and you need Tevin Jenkins healthy. I don't think he's going to be healthy. It doesn't look like it's trending in that direction. So let's talk about a contract extension. Boy, there's a reason why the Bears did not want to go to the table with him. It was a prove it season. And right now, Tevin Jenkins has proven that he is injury prone. And it's unfortunate, but that's the reality of it. So I don't know what to expect, but I think we're probably leaning toward the Bears, you know, waiting and seeing on Tevin Jenkins moving forward, taking the bye week, and then coming back and hoping he can stay on the field. It's not so much starting games, it's finishing them.
Oh, boy, that's a tough question.
That is the voice of Brad Biggs. Brad Biggs, Biggs time, 7 a.m., back to 7 a.m. for Biggs this morning. So Hurricane Milton had delayed the Jaguars. They are now in London, got there late our time last night, so early London time. Is this a big advantage for the Bears, and how surprised are you that the Jaguars didn't jump on a plane earlier in the week?
Well, I am very surprised they didn't do that and anticipate the storm and the weather in Florida. They're in the state of Florida. They should have anticipated this, and maybe they wanted to delay as long as possible because they have two games there back-to-back, and they didn't want to be away from home that long. They also have probably very significant personal concerns with families there they have to take care of. They have to make sure they're fine. They don't want to just flee and leave their families by themselves. Perhaps that factored into the decision, but it did seem to be a strange one. And you don't want to reduce this to just Ed, who has the edge in terms of the weather handling or logistics, because it sounds like we're reducing this or minimizing what's going on in Florida, and you don't want to do the devastation is terrible, and you feel for the people who live there and are going through this, and our hearts go out to them. But this, as far as the football game is concerned, has to benefit the Bears. They have been there since Tuesday morning. They are very comfortable. They brought their team barber. They are definitely getting all the comforts. They're in the English countryside. They're skipping merrily down the path to practice, to the practice pitch. It's in the backyard, essentially. They have very idyllic setting. Meanwhile, the Jaguars are jet-lagged and sleepy, arriving Friday morning in the middle of the night. This has got to be an advantage, Bears.
Advantage Bears, but I got to be honest, the team barber thing, that's inching into drinking game status, okay? Every time we mention the team barber, you got to take a drink.
Okay.
It's pretty funny. It's pretty funny where we've gotten with the team barber. I mean, could we have a little bit of fun? I know we've joked around, I don't know, on or off the air, but there's a famous 670 The Score story of a host getting a haircut, I believe, on the air. Okay, would we want to get the barber in here to cut someone's hair?
You volunteering?
Well, I could use a haircut like every other week.
Okay.
I mean, you know, neither one of you guys are interested.
No,
no. Be a good Twitch gimmick. All right. I mean, let's. I think we've talked about it a lot. Let's plug this guy. Let's get a haircut. Anyway.
I want you to finish.
That's another drink.
But seriously, I could understand if you're in Green Bay how there is a need to bring a barber to the building because maybe culturally there are no barbers. If you have, you know, if you're a black guy, can you get to a barber in Green Bay? That was always why they were kind of importing a barber from Milwaukee for the Packers. I don't see that problem in Chicago. This is a world-class city. We've got great people who do hair all over town. I don't know that you need to have a barber in the building. Is it a convenience? I suppose. But how often does one need that? I mean, is this like, it's like the old Dean Martin roast where a guy is constantly pretending to cut his hair. I don't understand it.
Back to Dustin.
I think it's a huge advantage for the Bears. This will be one of the things, if the Jaguars win, and there's plenty of people that think the Jaguars are going to win this game, like the Bears were there all week and it didn't work out, and so did they screw up? Like, you know, did they error?
I think it is an advantage, Bears. I think that it makes no sense to me that if you travel as often as they do and you have all this knowledge about international travel, if you see the weather reports and it looks like it's going to get bad, leave a day early. It's not like they have to pay a fee to change their flight. It's their plane. Just leave a day early. I mean, if it were me, I might be eyeballing a change of fee. It's insane to me that they wouldn't just go out a day ahead of time.
Boarding Group C.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not like they're sitting there waiting. And, oh, the line at security was too long.
You're sitting next to Trevor.
Yeah, it's just different than our world. And
I'm sure they got, there's plenty of digs where they could stay if they got there before their check-in time. Give me a break. It is definitely advantage Bears.
Yes. Hey, well, here's another question.
The voice of Mark Grody, he's here at 8:25 with you guys talking Bears. What quarterback will have a better day on Sunday? Which guy would you rather have with the ball down 6, 4 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? How close is the decision?
Well, I think that it is an uncertainty because I don't know enough about what's going on with Trevor Lawrence. He hasn't played particularly well. He was better last week. He's capable of being a pretty good player. I think that we are so sort of limited in our exposure to Jacksonville that even when you go back and you look at some stuff, he's not doing the same stuff he could do a year or two ago. He looks like a different player at different times over the course of my watching of some tape of him. I think that we're seeing Caleb Williams get better every week. And I think the other element here that I find fascinating is that he's now developing or has developed a pretty good rapport with DJ Moore. And if that can sustain itself, I think he's good with Rome Odunze. I don't know if he's going to be going to him a lot. I also think that Keenan Allen has been healthy the last 2 weeks, and he has been off the injury list for 2 weeks running. That's excellent. That implies that there isn't an injury delay or there isn't an injury problem that he may secretly have to overcome. So as he's getting healthier and into the season, I think his rapport with him could build. So I think that the weaponry of the Bears is pretty good. And I think that as a result, I think I want the Bears receiving core and their quarterback on the field at the end of a game.
Yeah, I think you might be onto something there. I think it could be the Keenan Allen game. You know, maybe DJ Moore's back to being a decoy or something like that. This could be the Keenan Allen game Sunday morning. I think there is something to the fact that Trevor Lawrence doesn't love football as much as he used to, just a little bit older.
Boy.
I'll take the younger guy. I'll take the hungrier guy. I'll take the Bears' weapons. Caleb Williams, Bears' weapons. Down in the fourth quarter. That's what I'm going
Interesting.
With.
I think that Caleb Williams is going to have a better game than Trevor Lawrence on Sunday, but that's probably because of the defense they're facing. The Jags give up 287.8 yards per game, the worst pass defense in the NFL. That's an invitation and an opportunity for Caleb Williams to use Keenan Allen. I think it will be a big game for him to use DJ Moore, to use everybody. The middle of the field is going to be wide open. Cole Kmet's going to have a day, too. This is going to be a big day for Caleb Williams. I think the passing game is going to be clicking again. That said, with due respect to how much I do have faith, and I am definitely behind Caleb Williams, Trevor Lawrence is no slouch. He has struggled. I'm not going to question how much he loves football. But if you're down that amount of points, according to the question, if you need one score, I would trust the guy who probably has done it before at the NFL level, Trevor Lawrence, more than I would Caleb Williams at this stage, only because we haven't seen a big enough sample size. Trevor Lawrence is not somebody to underestimate, even though he may not be somebody who has lived up to expectations as a number one overall pick. He is coming in hot. He had 371 yards against the Colts. He completed 28 to 34, 2 touchdowns and an interception. This is a guy that can't hurt you. And if the Jaguars need a touchdown, they're down 6 with 4 minutes to go, and he's got the ball, I don't think you want to look away. I don't think you want to get overconfident. He can still hurt you. He still is a very good quarterback, even though I think that Caleb Williams will have a better day on Sunday.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yes, Stacey, you can. You'll do that at 9 o'clock. She is also with the Bears and Jaguars in London. Tank Bigsby, not Brad Biggs, but Bigsby has emerged as a running threat, averaging 8 yards per carry for the Jaguars. Given the Bears' struggles against the run, how big of a concern is Bigsby to you? Is the key to stopping the Jaguars' run game?
Yeah, whatever.
Tank Bigsby talks football with you. I think that this is a big part of the game on Sunday because it goes at what could hurt the Bears more, not more than we have talked about. It's been the issue of the week. Jaquan Brisker's absence could be felt in the run defense as much as anything. I think when you look at what the Bears are doing with him against the run, he is a big part of that. Now, not that Elijah Hicks can't handle it, not that Kevin Byard isn't good against the run as well. Kevin Byard's a sure tackler, but the loss of Jaquan Brisker could be felt in the run defense, and Tank Bigsby is a home run hitter. He is a guy, he can have an explosive play in the running game, averaging 8 yards a carry. I know ETN is the guy that you maybe has the speed. I don't know how healthy he will be, but you look at Tank Bigsby, and that would be job one for the Bears defense, which hasn't been great against the run, is 17th or 18th in the league. It still can be an elite defense because of takeaways and sacks, but you want to wrap up. You want to get in the gang tackling mode, and you need to stop him. The key is to do what you do every week. Win your man-to-man battles, gang tackle, and pursue, and run to the football.
Boy, I thought Matt Bowen with Bernstein and Harris said it very well. The Bears have left their enforcer back in Chicago. Brisker's not with the team. That could be a big, big deal come Sunday. And again, when your quarterback doesn't love football as much as the opposing quarterback does, I think the best way to keep that quarterback who loves football more is to run the ball. To keep, that's how you, maintain possession of the ball, own the clock.
Tank Bigsby, his mom apparently gave him the nickname when he was a little kid. He used to run around the house and run into things. So she called, his name is Cartavius Bigsby, and she called him Tank because of the fact this is a toddler thing. He's like 6 feet tall and he's 213. He's on the leaner side, but apparently as a toddler, he would just run over anything that got in his way, as toddlers are wont to do.
Mm-hmm.
So Tank, it's maybe a misnaming of a person, right? You think of a guy that is like, how did he get that name? Well, he ran over six players. Not really his game. He's fast and he's quick, and he was a third round draft pick. He's a pretty good player. The Bears have struggled in run defense. I think that has as much to do, if not more to do, with their defensive line, which has been excellent in terms of getting after the quarterback. But maybe they don't have the anchor that other teams have, or haven't developed enough of other aspects of their players. But they're certainly very good at rushing the passer, a lot better than maybe we anticipated they would be when they were thinking about making a big move before the season started for a pass rusher and didn't do so. So I think that they're rushing the passer well, and they're getting it. They do some things well, but I think that maybe they're not as formidable in the front of the in their line as you would want. And they're missing some fits, etc. But I think that they can work on that. And I don't believe that missing the safety will prevent them from being able to tackle anyone. The enforcer idea, that's interesting. You're not afraid of them because no one's going to come up and give you a lick. I think that's an interesting idea, but I don't know that it means that they're just not going to be able to tackle and just allow people to run all over them. I also think that if, with any luck at all, they will situationally score some points and maybe force a team. It's kind of what happened last week, if you think about it. They gave up a touchdown early, 7 points. They gave up 10 in the game.
Yeah, you want to get a lead early if you're the Bears, so they can't rely on the running game. Bigsby is a third rounder from Auburn, but it reminds me of the way the Bears treated David Montgomery in the third round. They gave him the first round treatment.
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, my God, what a question. What a question.
Ooh, there he is. Joe Fortenbaugh, get that pen and paper ready, or a pencil, 740. What was your greatest takeaway from yesterday's American League playoff games? Are you taking the Padres or the Dodgers tonight? And what do you anticipate the Final Four looking like when we get back together here on Monday morning?
My greatest takeaway, believe it or not, was I don't like the Yankees. I don't think I knew that I didn't really like the Yankees, but I felt disappointed and let down when the Yankees got through, and I don't like the idea of an all-New York final. I don't like the idea of a Subway Series. It just doesn't do much for me. Is that jealousy? Am I just kind of a typical Chicagoan who, you know, would prefer my teams to do well than someone else's? I don't think I knew that I didn't like the Yankees as much as I don't like the Yankees. But I realized as I was watching that game, again, I don't like these guys. I don't like watching this. This is not going the way I hoped it would. I feel we talked a little bit about Detroit. I really love that story. I think it's tons of fun. I think Detroit is an underdog city that, you know, the only first city in American history to go over 1 million people and then dip back under. I feel a kinship to Detroit. I've spent a lot of time there through my wife and her family, and I find them a good underdog story. I hope that having their ace pitcher on the staff will see them through. I would love to see them continue this journey they're on. It's just a fun one to watch. I'm worried about the Padres tonight. I thought the Padres were in a really good situation, but I think the Dodgers winning the last game and the feeling that the Dodgers have set up and take notice, that's a problem. I wonder if Dave Roberts, if you really want to get Dave Roberts, then win the game, because maybe that ends Dave Roberts. Who knows?
I enjoyed the games yesterday. Caught a little bit of it with my dad. That was nice. It's interesting. The Guardians, when they win their games, they seem to have a guy, right? A guy step up and kind of carry the team offensively. So we'll see if they have that guy on Saturday night. I'm pulling for the Tigers. I want the Tigers to advance. Mully, I'm with you. I'm a little bit jealous of what's going on with the Yankees and the Mets. I really am. It is good, though, that the Yankees are there. There's a lot of stars on that team. That's good for baseball. It's good for viewership. So I can support that part of it tonight. I mean, I don't think the fans nationally lose either way, Padres, Dodgers. I'm just personally kind of bored with the Dodgers, personally. So I'm just rooting for everybody to get to know their stars, because again, they're a West Coast team. They play late at night. You know, this group right here, people listening, probably don't see a whole heck of a lot of Padres games. Yep. So that's why I'm kind of pulling for the Padres.
Good team, fun team.
Right, fun team, good team. There's no losers other than the team and that fan base, whoever wins and loses tonight. So I take the Padres. I'm hoping for that. But this is good. The baseball playoffs have been fun. Now I just wish the Cubs would get their rear ends in them.
Dodgers are going to dispatch the Padres tonight. You don't go back to L.A. That's too good of a team to give a second chance, and they did that. They're going to take advantage of the reprieve. Dave Roberts will be spared. If they lose, they could fire him. And if they fire him, he'll be the hottest manager available, because people will want his input. People will want his
Sox
experience. And the White Sox may make a phone call. They won't be able to afford him, but why wouldn't you call him? If you're the White Sox, why don't you call all these managers who have experience? Skip Schumacher, if Dave Roberts has fired him, David Bell, David Ross. Instead, we got names from John Heyman, Phil Nevin, Daniel Descalso. I'll tell you, A.J. Ellis is in the mix. Clayton McCullough. So these are names that are, yeah, you should see Mully's face right now. That is what the White Sox are in terms of the managerial search. Back to the playoffs. Dodgers win tonight. The Tigers win tomorrow. The final four on Monday morning will be Yankees-Tigers. I'm sorry. Yes, Yankees-Tigers. Sorry, Molly. The Yankees are going to win that one, too.
Yeah.
And then Mets-Dodgers. And I don't think we're going to have a New York, all New York World Series, thank goodness. Could be Dodgers-Yankees still have that possibility. And this has been a phenomenal postseason for Major League Baseball.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
Can you please give us your must-see college football game of the weekend and name a winner of that game, please? If you want to name a couple of games and offer a parlay, well, we're all ears.
I don't know about parlays, but Ohio State's going to beat Oregon. And Notre Dame's going to beat Stanford. And the rest of the Big Ten is going to be fascinating to follow. But I think if the big one You're looking at the big one. It's going to be Ohio State. The Ohio State University will beat the Oregon Ducks and deflate their national championship hopes.
Well, I'll be listening here on The Score, coverage at 6, Ohio State at Oregon. I can't wait for the Ducks to punch the Buckeyes right in the kisser. I'll leave the parlays to Joe Fortenbaugh, 740.
Yeah, I can't wait to talk to Joe about all of it. I can't wait to congratulate him on his Alabama. I don't know if he picked them, but he definitely said they were going to struggle and they lost. So, David, it's not often you and I are on the same page, but you are so right about what's going to happen in that game. The Ohio State University is going to trounce Oregon, and they are going to deflate the duck, whatever magical giant duck they want to put in the river down in Indy next year. Yeah, they're going to watch that thing. They're going to try to fill it. They're going to bring out all the pumps. There'll be too many holes in it because they are just going to punch their way through that team, Mr. Dustin. Can't wait to see it either. All over the Ohio State University. There might be Ohio State and Texas are the two best teams in college football.
Yeah, I think so. And if Ohio State is impressive in beating Oregon, then they can lay claim to this fact that they think they're number one.
They'll
get a chance to prove it. Northwestern at Maryland tonight. Very intrigued about that. I don't like Friday night football in the Big Ten, but they will catch my interest because I'm curious to see if they can go on the road and win a game.
I love it. All right. We got the obvious question next. We're going to talk about who wins the Bear game. We're going to give you our selections. We'll break it all down in the pick and the extra point next. It's Mully and Holmes.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, set up this extra point.
It's time for the extra point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
All right, here we go, guys. Will the Bears make it 3 in a row on Sunday morning in London, the showdown with the Jaguars? Can you please share a score for the game and a significant storyline we will be discussing on Monday?
Yeah, this is a relatively easy one, I think, because not just because of the travel conditions that hampered the Jaguars and delayed their arrival until early this morning, London time. But I think that the Bears have an opportunity here because they're playing against the worst pass defense in the NFL. And yes, they did play the worst rush defense against the Colts and failed to get the memo and squandered that opportunity, but I don't think they do that again. This will be a game that the Bear defense is able to get to Trevor Lawrence. Maybe they have some success on the ground against the Bears with Tank Bigsby, with ETN. Maybe that is the weakness of the Bears' defense, but they'll be playing with a lead, so the Jaguars are going to have to throw the football, and I think they'll probably turn the ball over, and the pass pressure will be too much for Trevor Lawrence to handle. Meanwhile, Caleb Williams will thrive, and the Bears will win 27-17. And when we come in here on Monday morning, we'll be talking about Caleb Williams for the third time in 6 NFL starts, surpassing 300 yards passing. And it will be a big day for the Bears receiving core. Keenan Allen will have his biggest day as a Bear. DJ Moore will have a contribution as well. And Caleb Williams will be a very happy rookie quarterback who will think that this London trip was well worth the effort.
Bears 21, Jaguars 20, closer than I would like. And I think part of that is the Brisker factor and not knowing exactly what's going to happen over at left guard. But I think the travel will be a difference. And I love the fact that Caleb loves football more than the Jaguars quarterback. As far as the storyline, David, I'm agreeing with you 100%. I think it's the third 300-yard game for Caleb Williams. And I also do think that This is the breakout game for the future Hall of Fame wide receiver for the Bears, and I think he has a nice afternoon or morning in London.
Yeah. I got to tell you, this is a tough one for me. I did not like that Dave didn't like the spot, and it makes me go back and look at a bunch of stuff, and I was a little bit uncertain about what I was going to do even up to last night, and I sat down and spent some time with it and looked up a few things I like to look at. I'm going to take the Bears. I'm going to say that the Bears win the game 21-17. I think that I just think that the problem I think that the late travel helps their cause. I think that, you know, some of the injuries they're bothersome. I don't know that they're prohibitive, but they're bothersome. I just think that ultimately the kind of what you're thinking, Dustin, that their weaponry may be as good this week as it's been this season. And I think that, you know, what I don't like is that they're not in Soldier Field. I like them at Soldier Field, and I think road games are tough, and I think international games are tough, and different things can happen. But I think that the very fact that they'll be able to use some of their weapons, and I'm hoping that you're right. I also hope they still use DJ Moore, and they use him down the field, and I hope that Odunze gets some time as well. I think they need to use their wide receivers more than they've been doing. But I don't want any decoy stuff or anything like that. I'll take the Bears 21-17.
All three pick the Bears.
Yeah, we haven't done that very often.
Brandon?
I got Bears 23-17.
What have we been talking about Monday?
Caleb Williams, continued growth, and I think I'm agreeing with you, David, and Dustin, 300-yard game again, especially going against Trevor Lawrence. I think he might have a 300-yard game, too.
Caleb Williams should get 300 yards. This is a defense that gives up 288 on average, and this is an above-average receiving core with a quarterback who's coming in hot in Caleb, and you think that their pass rush, unless their pass rush is able to, their edge rushers, which are good, are able to collapse the pocket and apply pressure in ways that we have seen happen before, but it shouldn't happen this Sunday against this defense. This is a winnable game against a 1-4 football team that's really struggling and a week ago was reeling. They went into that Colts game wondering if they lost, would they fire the coach? And now they have the turmoil of the preparation issue this week. Not turmoil as much as just it seemed like things are chaotic for the Jaguars.
It's a very important game for the Bears because you got to make hay when you can, right? Make hay when the sun shines. And I think that if you think about the fact that Jacksonville is a 1-4 football team, that does not spell that there are not many teams overcome that start and end up having a good season. I'd be very surprised if they were able to do so after the way they've started the season. So, and I'm not saying they've quit on it, but I don't think they're going anywhere. So you better be able to beat a team like this. And they haven't done as well on the road. And I know it's a neutral site game, but it feels like, even though it's technically a home game, it feels like an away game.
This is still the soft spot of the Bears' schedule.
This is my point.
Need to remember that things get tougher.
You got to win these games.
And you need to take care of business when you can. This is a business trip. They can have all the nice little countryside settings and all the English tea and breakfast, but this is a business trip and the Bears need to take care of business. When we come back, we should talk about what George McCaskey had to say
yesterday. That was very interesting. I think we'll get into that a little bit when we come back. It's Mully and Haw. It's Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Do you share his confidence level that you'll get a shovel in the ground next year?
Yes, we're confident in Kevin.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. So, interesting, the Bears spent some of their time in London. Both Kevin Warren and George McCaskey were speaking, and so they were asked about The stadium plan, the idea of a new dome stadium on the lakefront. And it was kind of fascinating to hear. Kevin Warren, I've heard him talk about it, and it's similar to what he has said about it. But I thought it was really interesting to hear what George had to say, because we haven't really had a chance to hear a lot from George. He talked briefly about the Hard Knocks show, by the way. He said that he thought it was good for the Bears, and he thought it was good for both the head coach and the general manager, that they look good, and it gave people a sense of how much they care about their players, which was interesting to hear him say. I mean, I think they do care about the players, but it did feel like that whole thing was sort of, you know, managed and controlled by the team.
It was. The big news from yesterday, though, what we heard from George McCaskey was he went a long way to lobby.
Yes.
This was George McCaskey lobbying people back home in Chicago in the state of Illinois about the Bears' plans to move forward, to progress, to steamroll, if you will. This idea that they can still build a stadium, a roofed domed stadium on the lakefront. He mentioned the legislative sessions that he is eyeballing and they're earmarking for
the three of them,
the three different legislative sessions. And
last three before, if they want to get shovels in the ground, they would have to get one of these three starting in November.
A veto session in November, a lame duck session in January, and a spring session after that. So they seem to think that there is an opportunity there to convince legislators in the state that it will be worth their effort to devote as much as $2.7 billion in public assistance to the Bear Stadium project, which the governor of the state of Illinois, Governor Pritzker, has called a non-starter, which every time you turn around, you can find a politician that's going to offer resistance to that idea. I don't know what the Bears know that we don't.
I don't know that George knows anything that we don't. I think if you listen to what he said, to me, the key sentence was, so he rattled off the three legislative sessions, and he said, so at some time in one of those sessions, we're going to have some sort of enabling legislation to allow the project to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. So you got three sessions left, and in one of those three, you're going to have to get legislative approval or you're going to have to move on, and that's when they will probably wind up going back to Arlington.
If they're investing this kind of time delaying this scope of a project,
I agree.
Show me your math. Show me your math. What do they expect is going to change? How are they basing this on, is it just hope and a prayer? We have confidence in Kevin. That was the word that I'll remember. That is the phrase we'll remember most from yesterday. We have confidence in Kevin. If this is Kevin Warren spearheading this movement, and it's all because of his vision that he is hell-bent on building on the lakefront, and he's doing it at the expense of neglecting the Arlington Heights property, which they own, that will be an interesting collision when they find, you know, when reality hits vision. And I don't know what's going to happen then. And then maybe we're the ones who are being naive. Maybe we're the ones who are out and not looking at this pragmatically, because maybe they do have some backroom deals that they are counting on that we're not privy to. But short of that, Molly, I don't know how this all computes.
But I think you just said it. I think in terms of what George knows, he knows that Kevin has told him something. So whatever is being done, or whatever they believe they have, whatever ace up their sleeve, that is Kevin Warren telling George, don't worry, I got an ace on my sleeve. And George saying, we have faith in Kevin.
And the Bears, I think that historically,
if he can't get this done,
they haven't earned the benefit of the doubt. That's it, right? Is that why we're questioning this? If this were another organization with a history of smooth operations, with a history that doesn't include as much maybe dysfunction and mismanagement, then or underperforming as a franchise, the Bears are worth $6 billion, yet you can find people to make an argument that they're an underperforming franchise in a city which they basically dominate. the sports landscape. This is a Bears town.
Yeah.
This is a Bears town, no doubt about it. Nobody's questioning that. How they have taken advantage of that, you could have, you know, long discussions about. What are they doing now? Boy, you just don't believe in them because you've never been given enough reason to. And I think that's where we're coming from. This sounds cynical. It sounds skeptical because it's appropriate with the Bears.
Listen, if they pull this off, I will be very impressed. If they don't pull it off, I will not be surprised. And I will wonder, are there any sort of repercussions? Do you have to then look at who's running the team, whether it be George or Kevin Warren, or is anybody under scrutiny if you have effectively wasted 2 years on this?
Well, that's a fair question, and it's the right way to look at it, I believe. But also, what's I envision happening, the way this will play out, is that they will go down this path until they figure out that there is a dead end at the end of it. And then they will pivot back and maybe end up at Arlington Heights. They'll end up with a beautiful facility. They'll end up with a beautiful dome structure. And perhaps that will be enough. It will be good enough. It will be grand enough so that this will be in unfortunate detail and a slow start that will be dwarfed by everybody being so excited about the new Bears buzz that is created by the Arlington Heights Village, Bearstown.
Yeah, I mean, all we really learned is that there is a new deadline, which is 2025. That is the deadline.
Keep pushing it back.
You know, it's going to be one of the three sessions. He's going to have to see George's, quote, enabling legislation, or the project can't move forward. And then they'll be wherever they are.
Maybe by then they will have sold 10% of the team to a hedge fund or private equity. Did not sound like that was the road they were aggressively going down. But that's still a possibility within the next 6 months. That is more time. He buys himself more time. Maybe the political and economic landscape will have changed in the state. I doubt it. But it sounds like they're banking on something happening that isn't currently in play. And I don't know what that is. And you know, it's not like we're not talking to people or trying to figure that out. We're talking to a lot of people. And around every corner, you find a more bemused look. Like, everybody's like, what does he know? Are they trusting him that much? When did Kevin Warren get here? So this is a Kevin Warren project. His fingerprints are all over it. And he will ultimately be responsible for its success or failure, I think.
I just have a hard time seeing it happen. I think that's what's kind of limiting my vision for the project. I just don't.
It's not because we don't want it to happen.
No.
Everybody loves the renderings. Everybody loves the idea of the Bears staying in the city. Everybody can agree and nod their heads emphatically when you hear Kevin Warren talk about everything that he says in the grandiose terms about the lakefront and the Bears staying here. It's just practical matters are practical matters.
Yeah. All right, we'll get back to this subject. We've got Biggs time next. We're going to head out to London and bring in our guy, find out who he likes in the game. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Take Bigsby Talks Football with you.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it, and we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.